everybody.
Well, this is the happiest meeting we've had so far. Wonderful, wonderful spirit here in the house of God tonight. I'd like to express my appreciation to Elder Jacks and to all the other brethren in this area for an invitation to come and work with you. It's been a highlight in our lifetime to be here in this state of Ohio and work with you. I do not have the words to say how appreciative, how glad I am for the privilege of working together with these blessed and good and godly men. If you could talk to my wife, she could tell you how I feel about it, because I'm all the time talking about the Ohio people. Since I came here in, a year and a half ago to Akron, Ohio has become a part of my life. The preachers, their good wives, their children, and the saints of God just challenge my thinking. I do appreciate them so very, very, very much. I've enjoyed every message that I've heard since I've been here. I feel so full. I feel so helped. I feel so glad that I don't know what they're going to do with me when I get home. I imagine I'll be swinging off the light fixtures when I get home. They're going to say, "What happened to Dad?" And it'll take me 90 days to tell them about all of you wonderful preachers, saints, preachers' wives, preachers' children. You're okay, as far as I'm
concerned. Amen.
I know that all of you who were able to be here during the afternoon service have feasted on the rich ministry of Brother Garrett. Brother Garrett, in my book, is one of the best preachers alive today. But that don't matter to me near so much as the fact that he's one of the best men that I've ever met in my life. Lovable, kind, true, fine, filled with personal conviction, a man baptized in principle, and I thank God for him. Brother Garrett, of course, bears the highest office among our ministry. He is the general chairman of the Apostolic Ministers Fellowship. I saw it when it fell on him, the burden for the work of God. He bears that yoke with great grace and fine strength, and we're proud of him.
Yeah.
I would to God that every preacher and every saint of God remember Brother Sister Garrett, every saint.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Thank you for everything.
I thought the best cooks in the world lived in Louisiana. Ain't nothing to that. They live in Ohio. And I thank God for that. I appreciate it. I don't know what. Never in my life has that pack rat spirit come out of me like it has here. I wanted to get me a jar of those beets and put it in my suitcase. And I wanted to get me a suitcase full of apple pie. And I knew I couldn't carry none home, so I inquired how you make that apple sauce, Jane. I think I could try that if I could get some apple. I believe I could do it. Somebody said to get apple butter, you just cook it a little long. Well, I've got patience. I'd like to try that too. But I got cured of that pack rat spirit when I was out in Georgia. I bought me some firewood honey. And I borrowed my son's suitcase, but mine looked so bad. And I put that firewood honey in that suitcase. And God bless Delta Airlines. When they're loading that luggage on that plane, it's not just Delta, I guess, but Delta, when they throw that luggage under there, you declare the bomb is going off under there. And when I got home, that was the sweetest suitcase you ever saw. Hush, get on with the word. I'm going to talk about apostolic living tonight.
Oh,
Because they labor under a false image of themselves.
The devil's got them believing that they are lopsided, hard of hearing, that they're born upside down, and the feet open and nose up. Everything's wrong, everything's backwards, everything's opposite to them, and there's just no change but the Christ. And so they just say, I just don't feel any joy in living. I want to tell you that because of water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, you have to re-educate yourself to all that jingle mess the devil tried to tell you about you not being worthy. The Bible says, for he hath accounted us worthy to escape the things that will come to try the world. We are accounted, A-C-C-O-U-N-T-E-D, we are accounted worthy. We did not arrive at worthiness. We did not earn worthiness. But it's a bookkeeper's term. He hath accounted us worthy. God said for his own reasons that we were worthy.
Yes, sir.
Now the reason that you can be happy and you can have feeling for your own value is because of the excessive righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to tell you there's any good in your flesh. I'm not telling you you got anything to crow about, or boast about, or brag about, or feel like a half knot about. There's not anything in our flesh that can glorify God. But I will tell you that if you bend to the water in Jesus' name, if you really repented of your sins and God fills you with the Holy Ghost, you have some very strong and some very mighty reasons to believe that God is with you and he has changed you from the vile creature that you were, and that he has set you in heavenly positions and places and ranks with Christ Jesus the Lord. I tell you, finding the Lord is being somebody. We're not crumbs, we're pies, praise God. Especially this thing in the language of the kitchen there, some who say, I'm a crumb. But the way you say that hard, then you're a pie. And there's some preachers that come around and say, oh, I wish I could preach like Perry Penn. Oh, I wish I could preach like Perry Penn. They're so good. What they're saying is, I feel me like I'm a crumb. I feel like when God said brains, I thought he said brain, and I hit under the floor. But everybody else has got to get it. Everything is beautiful in its own way but me. And that's because you're ignorant of the word of the Lord. That's because the light from heaven's good room never did flash on your darkened heart. If you have that kind of a feeling that I'm a little bitty minor, and you're a great big plus, you. That ain't right. That's not what the Word of God says. The Word said, I'm equal to you. The Word said, I am not inferior to you, which implies of necessity that I am equal to you. That's what that means. That's how you express that. I'm equal to you. I want to talk to you about some of the reasons why people feel like they are minuses. that people feel like they are crippled. That people feel like they have no grace and they have no attractiveness to do the work of God. That people feel like they have no gifts that are treasured. One reason people feel that way is because they cannot bury unhappy episodes in their past. They just keep on carrying. They just keep on feeling the condemnation that Calvary was meant to stop. They just keep on feeling like they're crooks. They keep on feeling like when they get a little bit down, and they want to say, I'm a dog. No, you're not a dog. You may just a little lower than the angels. Ain't no angels got names. He said in one place, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, you'll never get very much strength in God until you realize the gifts of God, the blessings of God that He has bestowed upon us. John said, behold, take a good look at it, study about it. Behold, what manner of love He has bestowed on us. That's what the mother does when she's got the acid all beat up and she's got the cake ready. She takes the icing knife and she spreads that on there. She bestows the icing over the cake. And so the scripture said, behold, what manner of love, not only the quantity, but the quality of love that the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. There's something happened to you, brother. There's an improvement. There was some refinement happened to you when you went down in the watery grave in the name of Jesus Christ. You became a new creature. Old things. They were very real and they were very ugly. And they bring you great remorse of conscience when you think of them. But the Bible says they have passed away. That you become a new creature and they are no more. Hallelujah! Well, he said, I am not inferior to you. Until you learn to say that, you'll never have any strength in God. I came to a place one time for a revival, and there was a young man in that church that was absolutely handsome. He was about 6'3". His weight was well under control. He was healthy. He was the superintendent for schools in Vernon Parish, Louisiana. He had a master's degree. He was the Sunday school superintendent there, and he was also a lay preacher. Every week he had the radio broadcast. I will say to you, John Burns was one of the finest guys I ever met. He loved anything that fell from his lips. He loved his pastor. He was loyal. Kenny was his wife. She was as lovely a woman in the church as you ever saw in your life. Filled with a spirit, with a sensitive spirit towards God, laboring and working and making so many people's lives easier. Kenny and John were just some of the finest people going. And we got to preaching on these matters in that revival, and John came up one night and said, I talked to Brother Green. He said he'd like for you to talk with me a little while. So we went in the office, and we stayed in there a long time. And I said, John, somehow or another, you're not squaring with me. You got a cup of dough under the saddle blanket you're not telling me about. What's the matter with you? What did you come to say? And he put his big hands on the desk and he said, well, you're exactly right. He said, I don't think I'd have still had strength to have told you what the problem is, but never feel invited to. I said, come on, John, out with it. Just spill the beans. If there's something got you bound, if there's something that keeps you to rising to the heights of joy and praise and self-fulfillment in your life, come on out with it. And that handsome young man looked up at me and he said, well, I'm going to tell you what it is. He said, I've never told anyone but my wife, not my children. I've never told my pastor. He said, no, I'm sorry that I didn't, but I didn't. He said, it's my ears. I said, your ear? Yes, they both say I was born with such big, flappy ears. He said, you notice that my hair is a little fuller than yours is. He said, the reason for it, he said, my ears reminds me of a taxi cab coming down the street with both ears, both doors open. He said, every day
I get up and look in that mirror and said, I'm reminded of what an odd existence that they make. They're so merciful that they can't hardly look at me when I speak in assembly. And he said, these ears, he said, when I get up to testify, he said, I just see them flapping like elephant ears all the time.
I said, John, do you have confidence that I would only be frank and tell you the truth?
Yeah,
I said, now, John, I want to ask you,
do you have confidence in me that I'm not a man given to flattery, nor psychology, nor any other such ism,
but that I tell you the truth?
Well, brother, sir, I know you would.
I said, John, that is one of the biggest surprises I've ever heard in my life, because I have never even, for the first moment, noticed your ears.
And I could see disbelief written all over John Dunn's face. But here I was lying to him. I said, now, John, I'll just ask you if you believe if I tell you the truth.
Now, do you believe I told you the truth that I have never had a thought, never crossed my mind about your ears?
He didn't have ears like that. He didn't have any worse than I got.
Mine ain't too bad.
After all, I didn't never enter no beauty contest.
Told me there was a town down there in Arkansas where the people was all so ugly that all the women got in the beauty contest, but wouldn't nobody win.
Look how the devil was banning that man from taking his liberty. The devil had that man feeling like that he was harming people and scaring babies with his big ears.
Come on,
that wasn't on his ears.
No.
I'm telling you, and you know I tell you the truth like I told John the truth. That's one of the best looking rascals I ever saw in my life. But the devil had it in his mind that he was eccentric somewhere, that some part of him was all face and all foul.
All right, Elf.
Have you ever had a problem like that?
Lord, y'all are easy to read tonight. I see you thinking. I'll tell you, if the devil could, he would mar the beauty of your person in your own mind. And I want to tell you that if a woman don't think nothing of herself, you hear me, there's not no another neighbor in the county that will.
Amen.
I'm telling you, if a woman has no respect for her own person, that none of the men or none of the women are either, it begins within your own heart. If you can't go back to Calvary and find that he redeemed you, that he washed you in his blood, that he removed your sin, that he removed the seed of sin, that he took out that wicked spirit and put in the spirit of God, that he took out a heart full of stone and put a heart of flesh in you and filled you with the same spirit that made the heavens and the earth and ordered all of them in their orbit, that same God lives in you, and it has erased all your liabilities, and all you have left is assets.
All right, Elmer.
All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Hallelujah.
You are not the person you used to be. You don't mind if I talk plain.
Did I talk plain no how? You don't believe that. When I talk plain, you're going to dry up, your eyes going to cross. You don't believe that. You don't want nobody to talk plain to you.
Hello, brother. But the Apostle Paul said, therefore, we use great plainness of speech. I want to tell you the devil would take your nose and rub it in the mud if he could to keep you from having liberty when you testify, and keep you from having power when you sing, and keep you from having action and authority when you preach. It is the business of the devil to accuse the brethren. That's what the book said. He accuses the brethren. People stop the Holy Ghost. People been baptized in Jesus' name. People who are walking in the apostles' doctrine in the light of Jesus Christ. That's the one he still tries to blackmail and still tries to accuse. Don't let him do it. Now, if I were to move to
Columbus, Ohio, and I was just driving down the street minding my own business, and some cop blew a whistle and had one of them little red lights on top of his car and pushed me over and pulled me over the side and said, "Well," I said, "you've come to Columbus, Ohio." I said, "How did you know?"
"Because," he said, "I look back and cop the shoe pass records and I see where you got a speed ticket coming off Interstate 10 bridge 4 years ago." And he said, "I'm here to give you one today to welcome you to Columbus. You're a new citizen. I'm going to give you a ticket." I'd reach over and get that electric ring and flip it up and try to catch you with a long nose in it if I could. I'd have my handkerchief ready in case you caught it. He ain't got no business arresting me. I ain't getting no ticket. But suppose I did. Suppose coming off of Interstate 10 bridge, a Louisiana cop caught me and gave me a ticket, and I went down to the district attorney's office and paid a $42 fine and paid it and had the receipt that I paid it. You ain't going to ask me no more for coming off Interstate 10. I don't care who you are.
Right.
I've been arrested, and I went down there and shook and trembled and pulled out my checkbook and begged and argued and couldn't get out of it, and finally wrote out a $42 check. There was a local attorney down in, when they say Columbus, and he comes up and tries to arrest me because I didn't pay that fine. I don't need him messing with me. He might make me mad if he's got much to say. Because he's got no case on me. The fine has been paid. My debt to society was paid with a $42 check to the Catholic Jews, just at the attorney's office. They don't need him fooling me. And that's how I'd advise you not to mess with me where I feel right now. When you turn it, I feel that way. Now the Apostle Paul was in a certain city, and he and his confessors began to preach the gospel. An old girl came by there numerous days, and she kept bothering them. The spirit of divination, demons that were in her, kept saying, whether loud or softly, I know not, but they kept saying, "I know who you are. You are the servant of the Most High God." And everywhere they went, she followed them. And after a while, Paul never said a prayer. He just sat through that devil with an authoritative prayer of dismissal and exorcism. He just said, "Come out of her." And she got her right mind and was not able to tell fortunes no more. And those who had invested money in her, they got mad. And they said, "Well, we're going to trip them up and put them in the prison." So they went out and caused a riot, got everybody a hot mad, got all the prisoners to stand up and put them in the prison. And they're fixing to give Paul another real good whipping. Now, he said he took five whipping before he wised up. Five times, he said, he suffered 39 stripes. He said, "Not to me, the one said they beat me with sticks." Boom, heaven, rod. Fishing poles. Rod. He said, "I was a shipwreck," and all that. But he said, five times they beat me with a whip before I wised up. They stripped that poor little old bus out of preacher's down and had his hands tied to the ceiling, and they had a professional man beater there with a long leather thong ready to beat him. And Paul, he seemed like he'd enjoyed. He didn't want no more of that. He tried not to sell a friend checkers. He said, "Next move's mine. You wait." And so I had something to say. He said, "Now look," he said, "are you going to beat me being a Roman and uncondemned? The situation being that you dared not chastise a Roman citizen without trial by jury." And that fellow was fixing the whip, and he said, "Are you a citizen?" Paul said, "What fair look on the record book?" He said, "I am Saul of Tarsus." He went upstairs and told the captain up there, said, "Captain, I've got a word for you." He said, "I don't know about that knee, but he said, you better take a look at it and look in the book. That book's like telephone book." He said, "That fellow said he was born Saul of Tarsus. Said he's a Roman citizen. You better look it out and see. Because if I whip him and he's a citizen and he had no trial by jury, that's capital punishment. They'll haul me out and shoot me at daybreak." I ain't going to lay no hand on him. You find out whether or not his name is in that record book. If he's the sinners, and I'm not...
We're just going to turn him over to the jury. I ain't going to catch him. I'm going to take the law in my hand. Old Captain Sweeping, you grabbed a hold of that coat, and he said, S-S-S-S-S-S-A-U-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-
There was a tall pile and his hand hung up to the ceiling. Had the poor fella slip down the little pile into wearing clothes over there, and here he was hung up down there waiting on him to sleep. He was a city. Something Paul say. When that captain came down there and said, "You said you're a citizen, huh?" Paul said, "I am." And he looked Paul over and saw how poor a man he was, and he said, "Well, with a great sum obtained out of this freedom, which insinuated you ain't got enough money to buy into this company. There ain't no way you could be as poor as you are. The holes in your undershirts you got, and the holes in the bottom of your shoes, you old apostolic missionary preacher, you couldn't have bought into this," is what he was insinuating. He said, "With great price obtained out of this liberty." And tired of hanging there for the little naked preacher, he said, "Yeah, but I'm born free." Now, if you want the devil to beat the fire and the buttermilk out of you, ready. If you're the kind that's got to have a good rousing beating before you can get your bacon in the morning, let him lay on you. Paul did it five times before he got 52. Now, someone has a Bible. Brother, get me Genesis 42. And I guess it's verse 17 there where Manasseh and Ephraim were named. Joseph named his boy. I don't know if that's his verse number or not. But listen to me while they find that. I want to build a little platform for you. There are so many people who could be happy around their children. So many mothers could have a happy home for their kids. Instead of a crying and a bawling and a beating and a slapping and... You can't drive me crazy. You could be the sorrowful mother of children, like the Bible says, instead of a red-eyed, homeless, night-walking, poor woman.
Come on, Ellen.
The Bible said he maketh the barren woman to be a joyful mother of children. That's the way to live with joy and happiness and delight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible even goes so far as to tell men to live joyfully with the wife of their youth. Can you imagine the Bible saying such a thing, that men and women ought to be crazy about each other? That they ought to be sweethearts after they've been married 30 years? Yeah, the Bible said live joyfully. That means some laughter. That means some play. That means some good times. That means some sweet hours together. That means delighting yourself in one another's company, enjoying each other's plans. Hallelujah. Be joyful with the wife of your youth. But you can't be that. That's not unless you can understand apostolic arithmetic. That I am not inferior to you.
That's it. Oh, God.
There's people so down on themselves, they take a job pushing a peanut along the city sidewalk. With their nose. That's right. Let me tell you what I'm going to talk about that cop. Look, he ain't got no right to arrest me. That's done been paid for. And if you don't let the devil, he'll come back and tell you that when you was a little old boy all behind the barn, you lifted that little girl's skirt and you looked.
I told you they want me to talk plain.
Go ahead and swallow. Get back up off the seat. You done it. Why not tell it?
Yeah. All right.
You can't take a bucket of stain and go to an old barn wall. A red barn stain and take your brush and rub it on there and then just turn in and rub it off and get it all off. It leaves a stain. And the song said that sin had left a crimson stain. But Jesus' blood, and that's all that can do it. No psychiatrist, no psychologist, no reformatory, no penitentiary, nothing but the blood that can ever get that stain out of your heart.
just out behind the kitchen cook stove with that old cigarette butt in your hand. You was a puffing on it.
Come on,
you imagine you were some big somebody, and your mama reached around there and grabbed you by the hair of the head and yanked you and gave you what patted you the drum, a good little beating.
Yeah. And you know, she said, I'm going to tell Daddy when he gets in. And you cried, and you got in the floor, and you rolled, and your heart smoked you, and you were baptized in shame of discovery. That stain still in your heart until you go to Calvary.
Hey, my name, that police been coming up here and almost around giving me a ticket for what I done, what I did in Lake Charles, Louisiana. I done paid for that. And I tell you, I might just get down right hostile at him. I almost felt like I was mad. Well, we just talked about it. That he'd stop me and throw me over and let that little red light shine and everybody goes by and say, ha, 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 ha,
ha, ha, ha,
ha, ha, ha, ha, ha, ha, ha, ha, house, it's great. You do not have happy marriages, you do not have happy children, because they're still under the influence of the stain of all sin. Bad works of repentance. Bad works of repentance. You're not still lifting up that little old girl skirt and looking behind the bars. You're a child of God and walking in the light. But the devil will still make you feel the same condemnation that you had until you get some of this apostolic arithmetic in your heart. And so there are some who say, I just can't feel the Lord. I don't get anything out of the service. Nobody would want to hear my testimony. Nobody wants to hear me preach anyway. Oh, but God is free. Oh, I have to hear you preach. You know how that little girl scared that with you? Don't you know I was a sinner? Don't you know I come from the woods of East Texas? I live so far out in the country, except my breath smell like cardboard. But here I am blessing your soul and giving you light and instruction and encouragement. It's because I've been to Calvary and because I know I've been there.
Come on,
I lived like this for many years after I began my ministry 27 years ago. I did a camp meeting. I'm sure that's for the benefit of my younger friends. Maybe they haven't learned this. Just to God somebody told me that. I did a camp meeting. I went there minus, minus, minus.
I looked at the man who was up preaching a camp meeting. I thought, my God, what can an animal do?
Well, that's what it was when I started school. I had two brothers that were seniors the year I started in the first grade, and they played around on the other side.
And I went over there one day and get Matthew to give me a nickel for my lunch. And I'm telling you, them big old huge high school boys are playing leapfrog.
Y'all know what that is, man? One and over. And leapfrog, maybe you know what that is. That's fine. Good way to get your brains knocked sharp out.
I went right out of the seniors. And boy, I thought they just the people in it. Oh,
and I went back around there where the little bitty one first graders were, and I felt so comfortable.
They looked huge, and that left such an impression in my mind when I got around there. Those senior girls were there, senior boys were there. And those great big old football players that weighed 145 pounds, they, to my little child's mind, they looked like huge, aggressive giants. And you know, when I got to be a senior, I was still as little big as I ever was, and I looked at them other guys my same size, and I thought, you ain't big as a red bug guy either. Whatever gave me the idea that seniors were so big. The brand on our ranch is Triple Bar X. It's our brand on our right side. And there are people who live like that.
They are dead, past dead, and tucked up by the roots and crawl sick.
The people that live like that.
I go to camp meeting, and I bring my little bitty minus
everywhere I went. Boy, they had people there that were strange superintendents and
prayers. They were to help me. The Bible come out. All that
they
knew,
all
those
scriptures. And here
was poor old dark stuff. Well, that happened to me one day. I realized that really I was God's favorite preacher on that campground. That's going some rags to riches, ain't it? Yeah, I like that trip. It's dizzying. I'll tell you how that.
I was down in the prayer room. We lived in the church when I built the new church in Girls, Texas.
And I'd come back from my morning prayer. So I was down there.
My son then was just 11 months old, I believe.
Boy, me and that boy have always been just as close as page 1 and 2 in a book.
Still are. Gonna be that way, we bet.
I love that little rascal. I put a slap in him on, but it wasn't my fault. I love him. I get him out of the door, and I tell you, I get them little good sugars right out of his neck. I put them good sugars through right out of there. Boy, I'm telling you, that little fat boy just rings around his arm, and he loved me till it was plumb sheer sight.
Man, he'd see me anywhere. He'd just ring.
Well, I'm saying we brothers is the worst people. I was down in there. I'd been to the prayer room, and I come back, and we didn't have air conditioning. We had a... Y'all hear over there?
We had a wind in us.
Hey, fan, and the breeze was blowing in over that, and they had a white curtain, a little thin one. And he was laying there enjoying his mother had bathed him and put him there, and I came back to the prayer room, and I got down there, and I just was revving up on him, getting him good sugar. Drop that on his bed, and he'd lag. And that's nothing so beautiful as the last of a little baby boy. When they get turned loose, you know, it's like a little rooster. When you get a bunch of biddies, you know, a little rooster in there, he'd go, tick, 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 tick. He's got his little rooster in that bunch. Beautiful sound. I just sitting there laying on him, and the turned up, and the devil came up.
That's the only time I ever heard the devil talk.
And I heard.
He said, now, God don't love you like you love that child.
All right.
And it broke my heart.
I said, I know it.
I had already preached to my saints. Think if you told me the hardest thing in the world to preach to saints was that God loves them. That's the hardest message there is to get saints to believe.
I do that.
I can get rings off of fingers. I can get television sold. I can throw out church boards. But I have difficulty getting people that are actually in their district to believe that they're God's favorite little girl. That they are God's favorite little boy. And you might believe that sometime in your life, if you want to live victoriously, live happily, live from the sin, live from the misery, and enjoy, you got to go to believing that you're God's good little boy.
Come on.
And the devil made the mistake of telling me how I felt full well that the Lord didn't love me like that. The Lord didn't love me like that. But I knew the declaration of the scripture was that you being than being evil, know how to give good things to your children. How much more does the Heavenly Father know how to give the Holy Spirit to them? I knew the Bible said that God loved me more than I ever loved my child. But when the devil slipped up there, that fire low down told that old stupid, that Lucifer, and told me, well, after hearing that God does not love you like you love that child, to be honest with the integrity of my heart, I had to admit that that was so. I had no evidence. I had no faith. I had no concept. I had no experience to convince me, yes, except what I read in the book. Just theory is all I had, but I didn't have no experience. I said, my mother, come get the baby. I'm going back to service. Yeah. I went down there, and boy, I said it.
I said, "God, I'm a stand here until you open my understanding." And that sure hot, God gave me a revelation that she would be a foot high. But I am not inferior to you. Don't give me how much money you got. You mean,
had as much brains as I've got.
Einstein had, but you ain't no smarter than I am. What you know, I know.
You may be so good looking that people catch their breath when you walk by.
Ain't nobody so cute when I walk by.
But still, you ain't nobody looking at us. There are people who always say, "Ain't nobody like me. He's got something against me." And people can so fruitfully imagine that it becomes so.
Everybody don't like me.
He's just plain nuts. I'm a nice guy.
Now, that ain't figure of speech, that's the truth.
Huh?
I don't believe that's conceit for me to say that.
I believe all of our trouble, he will fill it out of me.
For salvation.
Yes, sir.
I
believe
the beautiful. Oh, they like that, son. I'm a living down.
I got what people want.
Now you know it. But how did I get it? My no good of my own, by no gift of the flesh, but in Jesus Christ I made whole and pure and made perfect in the blood.
I'm not no little bitty what I used to be. My little shrinky dinky, winky dinky, teeny weeny mind.
Everybody wants to see, I don't say,
"Boy, you got that pretty like that." I don't know what that guy's got in his car.
Come on, Elder.
I don't know.
I'm going to put God down hold of me. I ain't never met outside before. I even had the Holy Ghost. I ain't never touched another woman for an immoral person. I ain't never said a word that any woman could understand in my lifetime.
I've never said a word that any woman could understand that I would violate her rights. You know why? God kept me for himself.
I had to give her. You have to. But you got to confess the work of time when I'm going to the duty farm. I ain't going to help you at all.
That old girl, you know, she's watching her mom and her mom put all that cold cream and mud patch on. Well, she can't hear herself.
Oh, girl, said, Mom,
what's your mom?
Well, I'm having dinner treatment.
What's that going to do for it?
I can't make love a beautiful, honey. I'm going to let the hell not there to me, so I'm going to wash it off. And when she washed it off, the baby said, "Didn't work it, Mom."
Well, as a group of people go to the beauty parlor, they go to the altar to get baptized in Jesus' name, but it didn't work.
Because you did not have faith in the finished work of Calvary, you'll go away from there, man. You keep condemning yourself. You keep excusing yourself. And you all realize that God recreated you in the image of him that walked the town. I'm talking about apostolic arithmetic. You're not a man, but you have had the Holy Ghost added to it. The Lord has made you beautiful. Everything is beautiful in its own way, and God made something beautiful out of your life.
Now, Dr. Maxwell Maltz is the world's leading plastic cosmetic surgeon. One of his patients was a princess from the Danish kingdom, Denmark. She was born with an unusually large nose.
You know what to do about so many of the problems of life? They just say, "So what?
So what?
So what?"
If you come to God, you say, "So what?"
Well, if you learn to say, "So what?" you'll be whipped by the devil the day you live.
Anybody here say, "So what?"
Oh,
come
on, say it with me.
Yeah, do what?
Now, this Spanish princess went to Dr. Maxwell's, a parent center. For years and years and years, she would go to no central function. She wouldn't help in the graduation of the students. She wouldn't go, she wouldn't appear on the platform. She wouldn't bring any speeches. She wouldn't pass out to the town. She was a self-exiled person. She would not appear in public. And the reason why is because when she went and looked in the mirror, she saw a nose which to her was like John Burns' ears. It was all for bad. The thing that looks real bad about me, did you know that? I do. I'm sad as much horse and leave as you can. So what? Well, I'm going to tell you, when I was a young man, a young teacher, this was just chin, and this underbite on my teeth line bothered me so much when I went and tried a shoe on to help me God. I'll bear my soul.
Because I've been made beautiful.
I wouldn't turn to Saturday to see what the suit looked like because I'd see that recessed chin. And that looked so bad to me that it would crush me. And so I, at all costs, avoided a sideways profile. Nobody ever took my picture from the side. Is that ugly?
I bet my wife would like to see that right now.
So what? Well, I'm telling you, the devil had me whipped down to that. And when I started getting bored in the back of my head, the devil came along with the same little suit and tried to slip it on. That looked good.
I don't make me no difference. I could use that for a mirror. For more than two.
What difference does it make?
I don't have no hair back there.
Oh, okay.
So what?
So what? So what? Yeah. I got what I want. I'm the one who has the stars in the universe. What difference does it make if I'm
clothed
on? Come on, Alice. You think I'm going to get my hair clothed on better than not because I ain't got no hair left on my head? I ain't got nothing to tell myself. And that didn't ever hurt me.
I don't need none on my. I don't need none back there. I got a hat in the barn if I need a hat. I don't have to have that. So what?
So what?
So what? That's right.
So what?
So when I went down to that prayer room and I said it all with God, next time I went back to the camp meeting, it was not little bitty skinny, tiny, minus, and you're a great big man of God. It was simply this. That I have been to Calvary. All my sins are gone. He has placed gifts and talents in me to help mankind with. I am beloved of God. I thrill Him. He gets that little good sugar right under my neck when I pray. He's so glad when I sing.
Oh,
that big old 6'4" son of mine gets up and sings and puts that bass guitar over his shoulder and sings them songs. That trio, it just sends me. Part of it is because he's my youngin'. Part of it's because he's jammed up good. He's pretty black. All crows think Sam's the darkest. He is black. You're there too, and you know it. So what?
So what?
All right, when he gets up, the anointing and the blessing is on that son of mine. I don't take the money grubs and try to count my money and see if there's going to be enough to pay the car note, pay the gasoline bill. I'm just going. That's my son to shout. That's my boy. That's my Billy. That's that little guy who had them good sugar grannies neck and he's real for God out of David's life. He's going to give me a dime for the trouble. All his life. A child of God. All his way to victory. I'm glad because he's been blessed. I'm glad because he's getting blessed. I'm glad because people are getting blessed. That's what God's doing to me right now. You know what he's doing? He's saying to Gabe, hey, look at three. You're doing good, ain't you? Oh, you're doing good. He's getting the job home late tonight. Oh, that's my boy. Well, that's I'm God's favorite son. You know Bill Goss, you ever hear him? He's one of the most fantastic Pentecostal men ever lived in God's world. Bill Goss is a man that baptized thousands of people in Jesus' name in Columbia. He came to my meeting one time in Miami, Florida, when he was flying back. And they was in a revival a little while after God healed that cancer from which he was almost dead. God healed him. He came up and eat a watermelon with me one night in my apartment. I said, Brother Gross, what's... And I hadn't ever got to Revelation yet. I said, what is it, what is it about these things that, where is the secret of power? Well, he said, you can believe it or not, but he said, I'm going to give you the simplest technique in the world. He said, I do it every day. He said, when I put my right sock on every morning, I say, Bill, you're God's little boy. Then he said, go ahead and put the right shoe on and tie the laces. And while I'm tying those laces, he said, Bill, all day today, God smiles on you because you're his dearly beloved son. He said, when I put on my left sock and I roll up my leg and straighten out the seams, he said, I say to myself, Bill, God's going to enjoy you today and his eyes are going to be on you because you're God's little boy, Bill. So when I put my left shoe on and tied, he said, Bill, you're God's son today. You're God's beloved son. He said, I'm ready for the devil, anything you've got. But as long as you say, I'm a mouse and you're a plus, you didn't get out the side of the river because you didn't pass that test.
No.
All right, I'd like to read here in Genesis. Is it chapter 42, Elder?
About 41.
All right.
You got
the
place where his name is named the deep among the Manasseh. Yes. Somebody got it out there? Well, we correct it. Brother, read it now. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn
Manasseh. All right.
For God, said he, has made me forget all my Torah.
That's enough for right now. God made me forget all that junk. He said, I ain't carrying all my troubles around with me no more. God made me forget it all. I mean, he said, I don't study about it all day long if they hated me and despised me and made fun of me and were jealous of me. He said, I don't care if my kids at all are dead. I'm not down here pulling my heart and grinding my teeth at night because they put me in a well hoping I'd die. He said, when I cried and begged the Lord, I want to die. I want to die, please. He said, I know how they laughed at me. They would not hear me when I cried aloud. He said, I don't think of it, don't ever think of it. He said, when they got me out of there and sold me to a bunch of daggers for 30 pieces of silver, I don't know a word about that. He said, God made me forget my Torah and all my father's house.
Come on,
Elder. And he said, when I got to town and they set me up on a slave block and Mr. Potiphar bought me and made me a slave, and for a little while I thought I was going to come out of it, and he made me governor of all he had, and then that woman he had came and tried to tip me, and I refused it in my honor and in the name of the Lord. I was a good little Pentecost boy, and don't you know what she did? She lied on me, and the governor didn't even allow me to open my mouth, and I've been down here 2 years of feeding the roaches and letting these rats run over my feet.
Come on.
But when God brought him out, he had such fantastic blessing and favor and success that when he had a little boy during the time of that great plenty, that first little fellow said, well, I'm going to call him as Manasseh, because God made me forget.
All.
All. Say it.
My Torah.
Say it. All.
All.
Come on, say, God made me forget.
God made me forget.
Come on, say, God made me forget.
God made me forget.
Come on, say, God made me forget. All my Torah. Come on, now, all my hard work. Everything I've done that went wrong and went backwards. Every time they made a fool out of me. See here, every time he said, God made me forget all that. I mean, he put a blessing on me, but that went from me. I'm not fine with it no more. So you see, if you keep living in past regrets, and you keep sliding around on bad episodes in your life, you'll never get to the top.
Never.
For every bad memory you have an equal feeling of inadequacy and failure. What? I know what I'm talking about because I went to my sister-in-law's house last winter, and she said, let's look at old movies. We did. And I had some movies that were made before I had my teeth taken care of. I told you last night that the freeze didn't waste no money. And I had two teeth in the front part of my mouth here that looked like boat paddles. Really, they were crooked. They were not symmetrical. They weren't in line. When I'd bite about it, it looked like it was going to a hammer mill. Really. And I preached, and I always been open mouthed and hollering and loud and energetic and all that kind of jazz, you know, just doing what little I knew to do. And I'd see those movies with my teeth like that, and it made me physically sick. I weighed 140 pounds. If you're any poorer than I was during evangelistic days, I got disowned when I left home preaching the Pentecostal truth. I mean, they said, don't come back. I walked off from a pile of it too, friend. Finally got it back, but just the grace of God. But I left home, they said, you leave here preaching divine healing, you leave here preaching the witness message, you don't come back. I left there and I preached. I didn't have the money to get my teeth taken care of, but I wasn't concerned with it. I'm going to tell you the second revival I preached. Murray Burr sent a man to get me in a pickup truck, and I had a little pasteboard box, and I had some little old shorts in there with holes in them and undershirts that was too little for me. I'd outgrown them. I had that. I just rolled up the two white shirts I had. I didn't have no suit. I just had some, I believe they call it gabardine pants. We had 33 that got the Holy Ghost in 16 nights. I'm telling you, 12 grown men got the Holy Ghost. God used it! But you see, when I went to talk movies and me preaching, was those terrible looking deals. I'll tell you how bad they were when I pastored a church some years later. I went to a dentist just to, in my mind, I wanted to see if anything could be done. This man was a one-eyed dentist in Nederland, Texas. He put me in a chair and leaned me back. He never asked me nothing about what I wanted to do. He made an impression in my mouth. I didn't even know what he was doing. He took a long needle and gave me anesthesia in my top gums. I said, help me God. He never told me what he was going to do. He never asked me. It was just so bad and so unsightly and so unseemly. He reached in there, and I want you to know that was my Bible study night that night. He reached in there, and out came them two boat paddles, and he threw them down in a wastebasket. He said, now you can come back, and I'll give you a little temporary plate 2 weeks from now. I said, 2 weeks from now? That's Bible study night. And God is fine. And you know, I thought that all through today. It's a good thing he done. Because I was angry that he did it. That meant I wasn't ready for it to be done yet. Well, I said that to say this, and I know I'm going way out wide tonight. But I don't care, so what? I'm preaching that doctrine. That's all I can do. That's all I intend to do. I ain't going to try to preach like somebody else. I know what's in my closet. Ain't no skeleton fixing to come out. Ain't nothing going to come out. God's grace is sufficient for me. Now then, I went back and looked at those movies, and to look at myself like I was made me physically sick. I dismissed myself from the room and went and laid down on the bed, and I'm telling you, I was physically in pain. It hit me up so bad to see how I was, how ignorant, how green. Nobody coaching me, nobody telling me, nobody instructing me, nobody teaching me. But with all my heart and soul, I was doing what a little boy could do. But when I saw myself after having achieved some knowledge and acquaintance and experience, when I looked at myself, I was physically sick, and I went in there and laid on the bed and forced myself not to vomit. Now, I'm not telling you for that except for one reason. That's what you did. You may not have no movie taken 27 years ago of you. But you got it in your mind unless Calvary has washed it out. He said, God made me to forget all of my thoughts.
All my thoughts.
And all my father's house. If you don't forget things, if you don't get washed out of your heart all your life, you'll be, this is where you'll meet all people. I'm little and you're much.
All right,
Ellie. Now, other people's crossed up. They meet everybody like this. I'm a whole lot and ain't nothing to you.
Yeah.
I'm talking about apostolic arithmetic. I'm a plus. You ain't nothing. I'm a plus. And you're nothing. That's what that old sister brother Garrett was talking about today.
Yeah.
I had the funny spirit on me when you were telling that today. That's the first time I ever really, earnestly, intently, deliciously wanted to whip a woman. But I did. Y'all wasn't here today to hear that? He said there was some old girl down there in his town that started out so poor she used to help her husband on a coat truck. Dr. Pepper truck. Drive bouncing along like that. Oh, balls! Balls! And notice they come in minutes when they sat down by the most noble man in the city, the pastor. She wouldn't even turn over there and look. And had diamonds on her head. She just wanted to start. I would have hit that one.
Yeah.
Would you hit it? You hold an aspect it. That woman was it. She was a whole lot much of everything. And Billy Garrett was nothing. This is what you call exalted people. Sometimes you see people get in the pulpit and say, that's God, I pray all that. Oh, none of you want to hear me preach. Nobody wants the gospel. Nobody wants it straight and sound, but I'm going to preach it anyway. I know you don't want to hear the truth. I know it ain't nothing to you. I know.
All right.
Sometimes you get a young people's teacher in the church that's got this plus minus factor. And she rings it all out and crashes them all out. Young people today. Oh, that's one of them. Plus
minus factor.
Yeah. Then you got some saints that's this. Ain't nothing to me in that. That ain't nothing to you either.
Come on, man. Come on.
I know where that's time to get into it. I ain't got no victory. I don't feel all right. I don't know what them people shouting about. Just sit ahead of me. You're trying to please the pastor. Man, I wouldn't say nothing down to please that preacher for nothing. There ain't nothing moving here. I ain't nothing.
Come on.
They ain't either. They're putting on. I can't feel it, and they're putting on.
Oh, I've heard that before.
That's a minus. Looking at you as a minus.
That's the truth of it.
Now, this is the person here that we can do no good for.
No good for, right?
If you want... You can be saved with this. Because you can outgrow that. But if you're sitting in the pew and you look up to the pulpit and say, he's a smart Ellie.
Come on,
Ellie. Who do you think he is? Who made you a preacher to little old earth, Moses?
Come on, Ellie.
Did Moses bless the people? No, he had to flee from them whom he would have given his life to deliver because they looked an honest man. They said, there ain't nothing else. We're out here fighting. We're full of hating the devil. We're fighting amongst the devil. And you came out here to save us. I just want to ask you, who appointed you to this chair? You ain't the man we are. And besides that, I know something on you.
Oh,
God. You killed that addiction and buried him in the sand.
Yeah.
We got a minus. We're talking about an apostolic arithmetic. You find people sitting back in the platform, sitting back in the pews. You know they ain't doing no good. Because they resent the teacher. They resent the evangelist. They resent the pastor. You can't get you nothing if you resent the man of God. You're not believing it. You're not allowing it. You're not looking up to it. I got some... Everywhere I got, just seem to me like they're lovely people. I got a boy about 6'6" and weighs about 160 pounds, so he looks like a bean pole. But he's good, he's precious, he's darling, but he labors with us right here. He's coming out of it. He's growing out of it. He came in with us. I had a preacher not long ago. See who it was. Well, I guess you wouldn't know him anyway, but a blessed good man of God. I'm going to tell you, when he got in the pulpit, he fed us, he blessed us, he excited us, he gave us the word of God. We saw light in heaven's light. Old Frank come around, he's a welder. He loved me. Well, I said, that's what he said. I said, I'm a fool again tonight. What's the matter, Frank? He said, I just know when that preacher came in, he couldn't preach a lick and said, my God, he preached like hell so far. If God hadn't helped him with his personality to hang up, I'm a minus and you are too. See, he just looked at that preacher. Preacher never opened his mouth, never cracked his Bible, but this fellow done said he can't preach.
Uh-huh.
I like what Brother Garrett said here yesterday in the Bible study. He said, I want my people to believe in and enjoy everybody I bring before them. That's the only way he can help you. You got to love a preacher.
Come on, Elder.
You're hurting yourself if you ain't in love with your preacher. There was one of the brothers you probably know came to a church in the South where my mother-in-law worships. My mother-in-law is such a good woman. I told her, I said, the reason I married Bonnie is so I'd get you for a mother-in-law. She is a godly woman. I'm telling you, she's all right. She's all right. She's a good saint. She was a saint for many, many years before I ever heard the truth. godly praying woman that loves her pastor. I'm telling you, she is in love with whoever is preaching the word of the Lord. So this evangelist that came had his wife and three teenage daughters that were singing, made a group of five, and the pastor, I don't know whether you had it custom here or not, but in the South in many places, when they pass out the offering plate the first night of the meeting, they'll have little what we call pounding slips. They ring a bell, you know what that is, you do that? It's a little suggestion as to what manner or type of food you could bring in to help feed the evangelist family while they're there. Food offers from time immemorial have been part of preaching the Word of God. And, you know, I said, God blesses that. And the pastor said, now, according to your ability and according to your pleasure, take out a pounding slip and bring it in tomorrow night so the evangelist will be well cared for. Well, I've done tradition there for 50 years. That just wasn't news to nobody. And my mother-in-law was sitting by the wife of the superintendent of the Southland paper mill. He was supposed to have the Holy Ghost. If he had it, I didn't want it. But he was supposed to have it. His wife was sitting there. Does that bother you? So what?
That's all
right, yeah. It ain't everything that says, Lord, Lord, is going to heaven. You can have a mouth full of Lord and not make direction.
It's
folks that do the will of God from the heart.
That's
it. Well, when the offering plate came by, this first lady, the superintendent of the paper mills, his wife, took out one, and it said, meat, M-E-A-T. And my wife's mother, Sister Cook, she picked out one, and it said sugar. And that first lady said, my God, meat for all them people. It'd take $13-$14 to get enough steak for them to have for a dinner. And my mother-in-law, she just as quick as a cricket anyway, she shot that little pen that slipped out of that woman's hand under a spirit of holy wrath and indignation and handed her the sugar. She said, 5 pounds, and that's when it cost about 85 cents, I think, 5 pounds of sugar. Said, 5 pounds of sugar to the whole Bible. Give me that meat. I want the blessing on my children.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! I want to ask you, which one of them go ahead with it? That woman with a limited retirement income that bought the meat, or that woman, her husband was a superintendent of a paper mill, and she said, that she's rich.
Come on,
I want to ask you who got salvation knowledge. I want to ask you who got reading from the press. Who got taught doctrine? Who got an understanding? Who got a move of God? You say, you mean it's all over giving meat or sugar? Football, it ain't over giving meat or sugar. It's over having admiration and love and esteem for the man that preaches. There ain't nothing too good for a man that preaches the truth. The Bible said if we are calling spiritual things, we ought to be glad and win and share higher things. Don't never worry about picking up a flower off of the yard and bringing it in. Oh, they fly to the preacher's wife and say, oh, your husband said us something good. Your husband's helping me keep my hand on my teenage kid. Wouldn't be for that he's preaching. Wouldn't be for both pastors preaching. I don't know why I do with these children. But he's helping me haul around in my house. Here, I brought you a compact to be a Thanksgiving dinner, pastor's wife. I'm going to tell you, friend, if you don't really love the man preaching, you ain't going to get none of this. That goes that apostolic ribbon stick. And now I want to show you a box. That represents the human heart. And here's the thumb. That's the neck of the thumb. And the preacher, he's going to put an A in here. That's his message, just the symbol A. That's all it means. It just stands for the truth of God, the revelation God gave him to give to the people. And it goes around and around until it comes out and gets down in here. And to the saints that love him and have spiritual understanding, it comes out, hey, I heard you come. I got it. I understood. Light came to my heart. I know what to do. I know how to be saved. My heart is lifted up. I got the revelation. God touched me. I got the message. If their heart's right.
Amen.
Let me show you somebody's heart's all cooped up. It's going to be like a radiator. You know how a copper tube's going to a radiator? Well, I mean, there's a digging up in there, and they got all kind of little bows and bends and crooks, and the water starts in over here at this big place and comes out over here. Well, here's the cap, you know, where you add some if you need to. But that water circulates in all these little bitty copper tubes, and the wind from the fan motor blows over on that, and it just cools it and cools it and cools it, and it comes back in here to the engine block, and it's ready to be heated up again. Comes back through the engine block and gets to the top of the radiator, and the water pump just puts all that water down through there. And if that ever gets clogged up, friend, you've had it. Your bush, your beach, you're on the side of the road. Now, when you've got too much stuff in your heart, when you have not been washed in your mind and set free, and your mind has not been renewed, and you have not the mind of Christ, but you have the mind of old dead works of repentance that you never got out of there. That's easy to drop A through a heart of oxygen, it comes out A. But some people, when the preacher drops in A, it comes out AB. Something he said and something they wished he'd said.
All right.
You know, you hear what you want to hear?
Come on,
some folks, the pastor's out saying, hey, they had a brain, they don't love him, and they see about it, and it comes out X-R-L-C.
Yeah.
He didn't say nothing about what he said.
Right.
Well, the human heart, friend, is not like that simple little box. It's much more like this. The Bible speaks of, give them double honor who labor in the word and in the doctrine. It takes something else, friend, to get a coat hanger down through all these and ride it up through that and push it through here and push it through there and push it through here, push it through there and push it down, push it up, push it down, push it up, push it down, push it up, push it up, and come out here.
All right.
You better have a good right number one, or a real stick or something, if you don't get it through there. But that's what a preacher's got to do. He's got to put the word of the Lord in your ear, and if your heart's not right, if you don't love it, if you want to do like they did to Moses, then I'm going to choose you. Get out here and tell me what to do about not having a fight. You know, it's not near so bad to stop fights somewhere out in the world. You get a couple of Hebrews fighting in the church, you cut something on your hands or something. Some folks don't really be bothered about their little fights, you know. You know, your little daughter said my little daughter was a nut. Well, I want to tell you a piece of my mind. Your little daughter is also a little sinner nut. And away we go. And then when the preacher puts in A, it comes out XLRT.
Yeah.
You hear a thing he said? You
hear a thing he said. That's the truth.
They said to Moses, you ain't said enough about the cause. Ha, 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 ha. I know what you did yesterday. You killed an Egyptian. And I'm going to tell him that. You better know it. You better get it. You better beat it. What?
Right,
Elder. All right. Let me get the arithmetic book out, and we'll get the answer book out and take a test now. You ready to go home? Won't be long now. We're going to run the bell for recess and see if you learn anything. There are four kinds of saints. I ain't no good, and you're next to an angel. I'm all of it, and I ain't never seen nobody slouch as you. I know I ain't right, and I'm double dog sure you ain't either. And there's a kind that said, all that I was, I am no more. He gave me peace, he gave me joy, he beautified my soul with salvation. And that's why I love you. No matter what you have been, nor what you have done, God brought you in. I love what you're standing for. We'll have fellowship together. We'll walk along together. I'm going to be blessed of God, you're going to be blessed of God. I wish the best of blessings on you. I know you feel good towards me.
That's it,
Ever. And that's apostolic arithmetic. Praise the Lord.
You thankful for the word of God? Praise the Lord. I'm thankful that you had a word for what God can do.